So imperturbable was the air with which he gravely bent his work that Riderhood remained staring at him, without having found a retort, until he had rowed past a line of wooden objects by the weir, which showed like huge teetotums standing at rest in the water, and was almost hidden by the drooping boughs on the left bank, as he rowed away, keeping out of the opposing current. It being then too late to retort with any effect, if that should ever have been done, the honest man confined himself to cursing and growling in a grim undertone. Having then got his gates shut, he crossed back by his plank-block bridge to the towing-path side of the river. If in so doing he took another glance at the bargeman, he did it by stealth. He cast himself on the grass by the lock side, in an indolent way, with his back in that direction, and, having gathered a few blades, fell to chewing them. The dip of Eugene Raeburn's sculls had become hardly audible in his ears when the bargeman passed him, putting the utmost width that he could between them, and keeping under the hedge. Then Riderhood sat up and took a long look at his figure, and then cried, "Aye, aye, lock, oh, lock, Flashwater Weir Mill, lock." The bargeman stopped and looked back. "Flashwater Weir Mill, lock, t'otherest governor," cried Mr. Riderhood.